Okay, now I guess the first kind of story that probably is on everybody's minds, most of us probably woke up yesterday morning, if you're a Facebook user, and found out that you were not able to share any news. Sorry about that. I've just had a sort of quick tech issue, but we just fixed it just then, hopefully. Yeah, so probably many of our listeners who use Facebook were found that you were unable to kind of share news. 3CR was actually equally affected, because all of the a lot of news, pretty much every news media page is impacted in Australia, and essentially Facebook doesn't allow you to share news. You can't even see news from anyone on your friends list, because obviously on Facebook, it's a global kind of network, and you probably have friends from the United States, from other parts of the world. You can't even see when they post news anymore. You can only see when they post images of a cat or something, or posts things that don't directly kind of link to a news site. And yes, 3CR was impacted by this, so basically no one can see the 3CR Facebook page at this point. And so, yeah, if you use Facebook, I recommend, if you want to keep in touch with 3CR on some social media platform, I definitely recommend following them on Twitter, because Twitter is unaffected by this. And to give a bit of background on why this has happened, is basically the government has been pushing this media code legislation. Now, to give a bit of background on this media code legislation, it has been, in a sense, lobbied for by the Murdoch press. But basically, it is essentially a legislation that is kind of designed to correct kind of imbalances between the media and social media. Because basically, we're kind of been in a situation. So right now, social media is very dominant. It kind of dominates kind of our lives, and pretty much all news is now filtered through social media. Like whether we're using Facebook, using Twitter, we get actually a lot of our news from using these kind of social media platforms. And of course, how does social media make revenue? It generally makes revenue through advertising clicks. So if you notice, when you use Facebook and Google, there's lots of advertising you kind of see. Google follows the kind of same kind of premise. Now, both Google and Facebook were kind of targeted in this sort of legislation, because both Google is another means by which all our news is kind of filtered, and where we kind of access it. And essentially, yes, the idea was to basically sort of give some Google, was for Google and Facebook to give some form of compensation, whether it is maybe potentially a one-off payment or maybe ongoing payments depending on number of clicks, etc. Those are all sort of things the media code was supposed to facilitate. And of course, the media code was really sort of supposed to facilitate a sort of at least the two companies, whether let's say a news company and Facebook, were meant to kind of come to the kind of agreement. Now, that's explaining, I guess, the media code in its sort of simple kind of form. But I want to give one sort of update. Was Google had already come to some kind of agreement. Google was opposing the implementation of this news code, but they've since pulled their opposition to it on the basis that they have come to some kind of agreement with Murdoch Press, who are one of the big sort of pushers of this legislation. Now, the downside to this is Google is currently going to be launching its Google News sort of platform. And now, you know how when you use Google, you have image search, you have searching for content, regular search, all that. They're probably going to add another column, which is for news. So it can basically provide a directory of different sort of news articles.
Google.
Now, yeah, Google.
How is that different to the existing Google News search?
I already remembered. There is already a Google News search. They're basically expanding that and basically making it more nifty and more flashier. Okay. Now, the downside to this is they've basically come to some kind of agreement with the Murdoch Press. and the Murdoch Press has essentially paid Google $50 million. Of course, my facts might, because I'm doing this on the, off the top of my head, and my facts might not be correctly, but it's within that kind of ballpark of $50 million. And really, the downside to that is essentially, if you use this new Google News platform when it sort of launches, or the current existing news platform gets expanded, then basically what will get privileged in your results are the Murdoch Press. Mm. And yeah, so essentially, now going back to the whole issue of Facebook and not being able to kind of share news, this has almost sort of been a kind of wake-up call for a lot of people, because so much of our news and our content was filtered through Facebook, and it's really almost like they've taken away a means of disseminating information. Because, you know, for all the problems of, you know, all the problems of Facebook, their increased entrenched dominance, and in fact, this really reflects that, the actual reality is the majority of us, or people who use Facebook, were actually, in a sense, reliant on Facebook for news. Because in some ways, you know, using Facebook to get news is almost in some sense better than just directly following newspapers, because obviously you have a personal sort of social network. You're interested in what your friends have to say about politics.
Certainly. So and it's not just that you're interested in what they say, but like, I don't have time to trawl through every newspaper, whether it's Green Left or whether it's more mainstream media. I don't necessarily have the time every day to trawl through that and find the good stuff. And that's one of the good things about social media and about Facebook, is I'm friends with a bunch of people who are really switched on and who will kind of serve the real good stuff to me straight away in my feed, and it saves me having to look for it because my friends have already done that work. So it's kind of this hive mind thing where people share the hot takes, and it saves you a lot of time. And that's part of my gripe. A lot of my friends kind of side more with Facebook on these on this stuff. They view it more in the context of it's a new government policy just to funnel money from Facebook to Murdoch. I respect their views, but I think on some level there is grounds for some sort of royalty to be paid to media organisations from Facebook. I don't know how that would look. Probably somehow different from the media bargaining code legislation, but I think it's disingenuous for Facebook to suggest that they provide all this free traffic to news websites. It's not Facebook that's providing that traffic. In many cases, it's other users who simply use Facebook as a space to share news articles with each other. And then Facebook monetizes that exchange between people and they generate revenue. But it's not like Facebook is, it's not like there's a bunch of Facebook employees sitting in a room and sending mainstream news articles to Zane and Jacob. It's Zane sending stuff to Jacob, Jacob sending stuff to Zane, and all of our other friends sending articles to each other. And that's a big part of why I'm interested in Facebook. I'm not there for the cat videos. And I put up with the ads from Wish for weird, like, butt plugs and, like, expandable bottles so your kids can take a wee in the car. Like, I don't even have kids. Why am I seeing ads for this rubbish? That's not what I'm there for. I'm there because I'm interested in political conversations and I'm interested in those discussions. And I think it's... people are on Facebook because it's just the dominant platform where everyone is. It's kind of like this digital public square. So Facebook was kind of lucky. They came along at the right time. They provided a half-decent platform, and then everyone kind of gravitated there because that was the place to be where there's maximum people. But I disagree with the idea that Facebook itself is generating traffic to these news platforms, and Conversely, if Facebook makes this ban on news permanent, I would definitely strongly consider leaving, because that's kind of the main reason I'm there. Like I say, I'm not there for the cat videos. I'm not there for the crappy ads. And I think there could be a lot of people who leave Facebook if they make this news ban permanent. So I think it's a bluff from Facebook, and I think they'd stand to lose more than they would from just paying some royalties to media companies if they made this a permanent thing. And ultimately, I think it's an abuse of their power. And for the same reason, it would not be appropriate for Origin Energy and AGL and the big power utilities to orchestrate mass blackouts because they're opposed to a carbon tax policy. It's, you can debate a carbon tax. Green Left has published stuff about how a carbon tax is regressive and we don't support it. There's a separate issue between do you think this policy is a good idea or not, and is it appropriate for corporations that are providing an essential service to cut that off in order to push their political opinion? And I don't think that it's appropriate for Facebook to use their power to cut off discussion of news, including, as we've seen, important news about healthcare in the middle of a pandemic, about bushfire updates. I don't think it's appropriate for Facebook to just arbitrarily cut off the main public digital square from being able to view and discuss news because they're having a tantrum. It's not a responsible wielding of their control over that flow of information.
Yeah, to add in some more kind of things about the consequences of this kind of media blackout by Facebook, it has disproportionately kind of impacted on independent media like the likes of 3CR, Green Left, Red Flag, and who all sorts of not-for-profit media publications that actually never stood to benefit from this media code. In fact, we were already excluded from the media code because really the media code is focused on which who gets the share of the pie in terms of advertising revenue. And of course, Green Left, 3CR, and all sorts of not-for-profit publications, we do not get any revenue from advertising. So it's actually completely unfair and disproportionate, that we're not able to share our content, on social media. It would have been perfectly fine if Murdoch and all the for-profit media publications, although still not necessarily so, because a lot of the major media companies play an important role in terms of disseminating sort of important sort of information. I mean, apart from Murdoch, maybe that's another question.
Important but, racist hate speech.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, it's clearly, you know, weird that, you know, the likes of sort of Green Left, have been impacted by this because, yeah, as I said, we never stood to gain anything from this legislation being implemented.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
And one thing that happened earlier was a lot of important health information pages, government department pages were delisted. Monash University was delisted. Just a correction though, they've since been put back up, because I imagine Facebook, in terms of how they implemented this sort of ban on news, they essentially designed an algorithm. So essentially, if your Facebook page was set up with in a particular category, then you would be delisted because most political parties, haven't necessarily been impacted by this, unless they made their connection with a media publication explicit. So, that's in that category has been, socialist organizations like Socialist Alternative Red Flag has been delisted, but Socialist Alternative Melbourne has not been delisted. Solidarity has been delisted, but it's because they have a magazine called Solidarity. So essentially, yeah, because they're connected to a media sort of publication, the page, that's sort of been the criteria by which they've sort of gone delisted. So that's a kind of, another thing. But I also think
Socialist Alternative will be happy that they change the name of their publication from Socialist Alternative Magazine to Red Flag because they've managed to avoid the placard.
Yeah, exactly. In that sense, and of course, the way because it's designed on a basis of algorithm and not on content, there are ways to bypass this news ban. People will include things like changing a tiny URL, linking an image first and making sure that's the primary thumbnail and you link the article there, or you can just copy and paste your article, the text of your article and say, oh yeah, I can't link this. You can just look it up on Google, which is a bit ironic because Google was almost threatening to withdraw its search engine in response to this legislation. But I do want to add just a few sort of things because I also think my kind of perspective on this, my assessment of this whole thing is this is in some sense actually a bit of a dummy spit between two corporations, between two forces of capital, which is big sort of media and big tech on the other, big media being referred to as kind of the likes of kind of Murdoch. Because I think, I'm very critical, I think, of the media code because I don't actually think the media code I think the government going on about media diversity, the fact that the government is so quick to try and push this legislation through while presiding over cuts to the ABC and other local broadcasters makes me completely cynical about their goals for this because I would see this legislation as nothing more than really just appealing to the Murdoch press. And of course, I think in some sense, some other more independent publications like The Guardian, who probably will get a bit of money, would in theory get a bit of money out of this, have, I think, been a bit naive to just sign up and sort of wholeheartedly, uncritically kind of back this legislation because I just don't think if this legislation was implemented to its logical conclusion, that it's not actually going to do anything for media diversity. In fact, it would actually just basically, because essentially with the media code, here's a few examples of what could happen. And of course, going back to the Google $50 million deal with Murdoch, that's sort of one example of what could happen. So we could have a scenario where Murdoch Press pays Facebook X number of million, and then in exchange, Facebook gives them access to all their algorithms, etc. What that essentially means in layman terms is the Murdoch Press could come to an arrangement with Facebook where Murdoch Press appears more prominently in your news feeds than any other news publication, which I think is actually scary and dangerous for democracy.
Deeply evil.
And, of course, Facebook has already had a trend of deprioritizing news. In fact, they've made recent changes to their algorithms where you see news content less often than personal posts from your friends. So, for example, when I made a personal post and commentary about this, I tend to get more likes and more a larger response than previously. Pre-blackout than simply just sharing a Green Left article. And then I think the other sort of other kind of implication of this is I think if the government was really interested in media diversity, why is it that they're picking Facebook to basically siphon off revenue? Because in actual fact, ABC and SBS were meant to be able to negotiate some kind of compensation with social media companies, but why is it up to our public broadcasters to negotiate with another private company to get extra revenue? Why isn't the government actually giving full funding to the ABC and SBS? And I guess the other kind of issue as well is there's other ways of also diversifying media as well. And that includes giving extra funding to community organizations, community radio, community news. It also includes like a similar policy, implementing a similar policy to what Norway does, which basically Norway has a policy where there's mandated state subsidies to every town or country or state or whatever, to basically give the funding to be able to do local kind of newspapers. In fact, our local newspaper industry has pretty much been gutted, and it's been gutted even more as a result of COVID. There's pretty much no... I live in the Moreland area, and I remember when the Moreland Leader existed, and it had multiple journalists. Now it went to one journalist, and now it go and now it doesn't really exist anymore. So I think that's my sort of cynicism about this legislation. On the other hand, just to make a bit of criticism of Facebook, I do think Facebook is setting a worrying precedent, because hypothetically, governments around the world could implement far more progressive legislation that reins in Facebook, because Facebook and Google had, because they see themselves as global sort of corporations that are above state and country, they pay very little in tax while they make millions and or even billions off collecting our personal data and then, of course, selling that personal data to
advertisers of butt plugs.
To advertisers and marketing corporations. So I could easily imagine, let's say our government was hypothetically progressive, if our government tried to attempt to rein in Facebook and Google on that basis, I imagine Facebook and Google would be giving a far worse response, because in actual fact, the media code doesn't actually, it represents actually a very minimal threat to their profits, because in actual fact, the media code never necessarily stipulated that Facebook has to pay Murdoch for X number of clicks. Basically, it stipulated that Murdoch and Facebook just had to come to some kind of agreement and work out some kind of compensation. And, of course,
It's reminiscent of when the lockdowns were first starting and COVID was first kicking off. There was this thing of like, oh, yeah, landlords and tenants need to come to an agreement. Like, it's very non-specific. And I think Facebook's tantrum is all the more disproportionate and, like, over the top in this regard, because Facebook could hypothetically just say, oh, yeah, we'll give you $50 a year for your sharing News Limited media content. And then News Limited would have a big whinge and say, no, no, we want $1 billion. And then they come to some agreement. But it could really, to tick that box, Facebook just has to give some amount of money to News Limited or Nine Media or The Guardian, whatever news outlet it is. We're talking about potentially a really tiny little crumb of the overall massive advertising revenue that they make. So, as you say, it's not like there's a mandated price per click that's actually being put into law here.
And also, I think globally, there is actually a trend. Right now, there are actually governments around the world, and this doesn't mean I necessarily support these governments, but there's a clear kind of conflict between big tech and capitalist sort of governments around the world. Because basically, on one hand, Facebook and the likes of Facebook and Google, as I sort of implied, like to see themselves as above states and government, because of the context of operating in a global market. And so there is a trend where governments around the world, actually the United States is one example, are wanting to sort of rein in Facebook and Google and put them under much more strict regulations. Of course, obviously, whatever these regulations would be, it's not necessarily 100% for progressive reasons, just like this media code is being drafted. But I do think that Facebook and Google are worried about a precedent being set where if this media code gets implemented and gets fully legislated, then it sets a precedent that the Australian government might also try some other legislation that reins them in, like maybe getting them to pay more tax, maybe putting them under harsher regulations by which they conduct their business, all of which sort of puts a bit of dent on some of their profits. And of course, I think Google and Facebook and all the big tech companies are increasingly worried that they're going to be reined in by governments. And so they essentially are threatening, you know, strikes like this by shutting off their services and so on.
It's a type of capital strike.
Yeah, it's essentially like a capital strike to prevent that from happening. So I think, you know, that's also another context that I think we have to be kind of aware of. In actual fact, my personal opinion is I actually think these big tech companies like Facebook and Google, even though they have a more progressive sort of liberal image than the likes of Murdoch, I think in some contexts they would represent a greater evil in the long term, because they are increasingly becoming unaccountable to the public. But at the same time, you know, you have to acknowledge that social media services come and go. And of course, social media thrives on the fact that lots of users use their platforms. And of course, you know, MySpace fell apart at one stage. The same thing could happen to Facebook. So, you know, Facebook is not completely immune. Although I do feel in some ways Google have almost set themselves in a monopolized position that's almost impossible, that might be hard to kind of break. But I do think, you know, the actual focus on how we respond to these companies should be, well, these companies actually need to be democratized and actually put under some kind of public ownership so they can actually be accountable to the public. And of course, now going back, I want to give a bit of a kind of plug. The impact of this Facebook kind of ban is, as I said, disproportionately kind of impacting on independent community-run media. And so, 3CR is currently going through a subscriber drive at the moment, starting from the 15th to the 21st of February. And if you're not a subscriber of 3CR, it is a more important time to be a subscriber.
Or if you are a subscriber and your subscription has lapsed, now is the time to renew it because, yeah, COVID has really smashed 3CR. Studio has been kind of more or less empty for most of the last year. We were kind of unable to have radios on last year like we usually do. So it's really important, especially in the context of these attacks on Facebook sharing media, 3CR having its Facebook page shut down. It's really important for all listeners to keep showing your support and subscribe to 3CR. There's a small staff here of paid organizers who hold everything together, and then there is a whole large bunch of volunteers who facilitated in running our various radio programs like Green Left Radio by that small team. And so when you pay your subscription each year, you are literally paying to keep the lights on at 3CR, keep the internet connected, keep the computers going, and to pay that small team of staff who holds it all together. So it's really important that we keep this independent left-wing community voice going strong in Melbourne. So please do resubscribe, or if you haven't subscribed before, there's never been a better time to do it. And you just simply go to 3cr.org.au or give us a call on... Just let me log into my phone. I should know the number off by heart, but...
The number should be around...
03-9419-8377. And you can just press 1 to subscribe after you've called that number. You'll be taken straight to the subscribe point. So get in there.
And also to give another plug, because we are an affiliate of 3CR, Green Left is also going through its 30th anniversary. In fact, it was a bit unfortunate that this whole media blackout happened actually on our 30th birthday, which is the 18th of February. And so, yeah.
I allege a conspiracy.
Yeah. And basically, we are looking kind of for messages of support from any sort of activists and individuals, you know, to have a bit of, to give a bit of a quote for us on what Green Left means to you. And you can find out how you can do that by going on the greenleft.org.au website. But also more than that, you can also, it is also a good time to also become a supporter of Green Left. You can become a supporter of Green Left by going to greenleft.org.au/support. And yeah, essentially, you can, to become a supporter, it costs like $5 a month, to get the digital edition of Green Left. Of course, all our content is available online and then for free. And then we also have the print subscription for $10 a month. So yeah, I definitely recommend, becoming a supporter of Green Left, but also becoming a subscriber of 3CR because we really need.
We don't get no kickbacks from Facebook.
Yeah. Because we need to, keep independent media alive. And as we said, we went in kind of long detail about our analysis of this media code. This media code was never going to benefit, small community run, media like the likes of 3CR and Green Left. So it's very important that we have that important kind of grassroots, people-powered kind of support. Now, I might just go play, I guess, a quick announcement. In fact, I'll just play an ad, which basically advertises that you should subscribe to 3CR again. And we'll go. You are listening to Green Left Radio. It's 7:33 a.m. on 855 a.m.